Yeah.
Check it out.
See, the only thing you need to do right here is snarl your freaking head. Boy, it's September 14th.
14th.
And it's episode one. It's the 14th today. And it's episode 148 because we were going to record last night and then we didn't record. Anyways, it's episode 148 and this is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast, the official podcast of thefantasyfootballauction.com. The website, well, the only website dedicated to fantasy football auctions. It's like I've never read this before 148 times. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Fantasy Auction, or you can like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Fantasy Football Auctioneer. The preseason is over, so we're going to change up the format just a little bit now that we're in season. So drafts are over and we're going to discuss, still auction content, but this time it's going to be the Fab auction budgets. So we're going to take a look at how much money you're going to spend on players. Probably do a little bit of whining and crying and maybe even some gloating over last week's successes and failures in some of our leagues. And, well, I beat you in one, Blister. But anyways, we might even throw in some this is a man as we kind of move in through the season. But, of course, only one of our analysts are here. Maybe sometimes it'll be both of us, but or both of them. But right now only Mr. Blister's here. Mr. Blister. What did week one look like for you?
Oh, it was, had somewhere about 500, you know, and, half my season long leagues I won, half of them I lost. And, daily fantasy, I basically got back what I put in. So, you know, it was a kind of like a break-even type week, but more probably
you were Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, it was discouraging. Was losing Keenan Allen. Oh, lost Keenan Allen in four leagues. I lost. Well, I didn't lose yet, but you know, Demaryius Thomas. There's rumblings that he's got a bad hip and was getting a second opinion, and still haven't really heard anything. I haven't been on anything today yet, so. That's scary because I have him probably in three or four leagues. Sammy Watkins I have in at least three leagues, and looks like he's going to play tomorrow night. But how effective will he be on a short week with a bad foot? And, you know, there's even talk of them maybe shutting him down. So pretty big blows. Like, you can't really replace stud receivers all that well. But we'll talk about some guys later in the waiver wire. But, yeah, so it was a mixed emotions. One thing I did notice, though, I didn't play any of the pick 'em pools this year. And I think I wasn't angry at all over the weekend.
Yeah.
I won some fantasy. I lost some fantasy. That was okay. But in the pick 'em pools, I used to get so mad because, you know, you would do all this research and we know too much, I think, about football and who should be winning and who shouldn't be, you know, and whose offensive line is good. So they should have a run game and they should blah, blah, blah. And all, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, you have to pick, Arizona at home, for example, or you have to pick, Carolina on the road, different things like that with a rookie quarterback. And you go in those big guys and the wives and people that, you know, they do all their picks the first day of the season for the whole year and just throw them in there. So they got them in. And some people are going by the color of uniforms and other people are saying, well, Bears could eat a Dolphin. So they got to take the Bears and stupid stuff like that. And you know what? They do just as well or better. And so, and I used to hate that looking at the scoreboards and thinking, are you kidding me? How did this team win? When now that you don't do that, it doesn't matter at all who wins them just as long as your guys perform. So that was a real good, move, I guess, on my part to alleviate some stress and anger on Monday. I said it was a mood swing Monday. It used to be mood swing Monday because you'd have you'd be so happy because you won in DFS and your team's won and you're leading the pick and pull, or you'd be kicking garbage cans because everything crapped out on you. But not as violent of a swing so far after 1 week and only doing
that's good.
Okay. Yeah, I'm okay.
Well, I did that last year. I stopped the pick and pools last year and I just felt because with us doing all the pod and all the website and all that stuff. And then the fantasy leagues, you know, grew from 2 to 4 to 8 or whatever it was. I just it was the last minute thing. I'm like, oh yeah, the pick'em too. And then you're like you said, you know so much, but you know more about individual players and I'm not paying attention that, you know, to some of that other stuff. And I ended up not doing as well and just donating my money the last couple of years. So I got rid of that last year and it did free me up to only focus in the one area. And that was the players and the fantasy. So that did help me out. But Blister, I didn't have a 50-50 week. I think I was maybe a 30-70 split, maybe. It was tough.
Yeah. Blister. And part of the 30 was beating me badly. Right.
Yeah, badly too. And the data force, I kicked.
Yeah, you
there. So that was nice.
Who is on top of the data force? Uncle Buckets. Blister.
That's right. And I crushed at like 208 or something. Like it was huge.
Yeah, yeah. I was looking at all the totals and thinking, yeah, I rocked it. Then I scrolled down. Ooh, Bucks, look at you. The fact that we're both on top, you know, after week one. It's early, but it's nice to see us up there. I didn't realize it was a points league. Like it looked like we were playing head to head against somebody.
Yeah, I know. It's best ball though, right? So best ball with a one waiver move or whatever. So.
Yeah, but when you look, I dropped Marcus Wheaton in that league and picked up another defense. And Wheaton's okay, but yeah, I thought that I can't remember I had for a defense in that league. And I just thought that maybe having another one like Minnesota would have got big points last week. So it's not a bad thing.
Well, my biggest issue this week was my stud running backs didn't do what they were supposed to do. And the guys that are supposed to be that third, fourth tier, your RB2s and threes on paper, even though like your gut tells you they're better than that, I put on the bench. And so, I mean, theoretically, I own five teams, let's say, was on the bench. That's great. Even Charles Sims on the bench. And then you have AP who sits in the middle of the field, drops his drawers, and takes a giant dump for your fantasy team. So that was no good.
Well, that's the problem with guys like Theo and Charles Sims and Danny Woodhead and Darren Sproles is they have some big games. But when are they happening? You know, like I have on my dynasty team, I can't start them ever ahead of CJ Anderson and David Johnson. I could start three or four. I could then start both Sims and Riddick, but do you start them? I mean, you can't start them over Marvin Jones or probably Golden Tate or definitely obviously not Antonio Brown, but even if Mohamed Sanu is healthy now and Brandon LaFell and it looks like they could, 1 week is kind of early on, but I mean, they are in the right spot to be playing number two opposite a stud receiver where they should get a lot of looks. How do you play them over those guys in a PPR? And you know, that's pretty tough to do. So, I was fielding some offers for them because I don't need to have them just sitting on my bench if I could get the right deal for them. But yeah, it's hard to play them. Like you could play them this week and they could get, you know, three carries for 8 yards and they could get, you know, two catches for -1. You never know. So it's really hard to play guys like that. And then at the end of the year, they'll have another big game. And like last year, they were both top 20. They were RB2s last year. They were actually ahead of Gio Bernard, I think, both of them. So it's really tough to know when to play them. It's tough. Maybe in a bye week, it's a little easier decision, but when your full bench is there, it's hard to play them over your starting running backs. It's pretty ballsy move.
Yeah, well, I mean, in Auction Kings, I could have played Theo because it's that four flex, but I decided to go Rishard Matthews, and that didn't work out for me. And then in our ESPN quote-unquote experts league, I mean, you can't start in front of Lamar Miller or Lat Murray. And then I got Gio and Duke Johnson and Theo Riddick, and so I – was bouncing around. I think I started Duke instead, and like that's the problem with those middling RBs is how do you make a decision, right? Because I can't start him in a flex with Julio and Amari Cooper and Marvin Jones, and
so a good start.
You kind of have to flex on, right? But
which division are you in Auction Kings?
I'm six, in the right? Mila Kunitz, I think.
King.
No, that's in Scotty Fish. Yeah, no, I'm in four, I think. The draft, I switched.
And five?
Yeah. How many are there altogether?
Six leagues, I think.
Oh, then maybe I'm in five.
Do you got a different name?
No, hashtag YaBoy.
Oh, YaBoy. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Easier to find. amongst all those teams when you're scrolling. But, you know, and the other thing that I did too is I started Rishard Matthews in a couple of pools, and I sat Tajae Sharpe in a lot of pools. And that stung too, but you just didn't know yet, right? So you learn a lot from week one, and hopefully that's something I learned as we move forward. So
I don't see you in here on League 6.
No. I'll look it up live on the pod here. I'll tell you where we are. Okay.
I had a good week there. Finally, I have auction kings. I'm sitting on top most points in almost all of the divisions right now, which is huge. Oh, yeah. Because one guy in League 1 beat me by 4 points. Let's see, League 4. No, yeah, League 5. I'm tied with League 5. No, I'm ahead of him by 0.1. Ooh, guy in League 6 got 193, so I'm about third overall out of the 72 teams.
Well, I'm in League 2 because they switched me to draft early, and I'm second from the bottom right above Team Dick Chicken.
Ooh, Dick Chicken, yeah. Yeah, boy. So, I got...
But, you know, the team's good there. I got Todd Gurley and Adrian Peterson, but that's what hurts, right? Dez Bryant and...
Oh, Dez hurt me too in a few weeks.
The Vikings defense got me a third of my points. Them and Willie Snead.
Yeah, Willie was a nice play. I got Dez in a few leagues too. I never was a big Dez fan, and he really let me down this week. That's for sure. It's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. But week one, at least we'll figure it out what happens, anyways. Yeah. So let's get into some more specifics here, and so that I can actually play the music blister, all right? So, if you guys are ready, then I'm ready. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action. Cock the hammer. Cock the hammer. It's time for action. Cock the hammer. Cock the hammer. It's time for action. All right, so like we said, we're into the season now, so we're going to take a look at the in-season version of auction. That's our fab spending. And just talking about how things kind of went in through the week. We won't necessarily be podcasting every single week, but when we do, and if we can get Slim on, we'll throw in some This Is the Man too, which will be fun as well, as we've done in past seasons. So, Blister, really the first, we had some injuries in that first week, and really Keenan Allen is the big one and is a stinger for a lot of people, especially very for people who listen to us, right? Because we were very high on him, ranked him very high, and you spent a lot of cash on him.
Yeah. Sad to see Keenan Allen go down. I mean, he was, I had high hopes for him this year, and, it's just sad. He's banged up a lot of the time, and when he was healthy, even this game, I mean, he had 6 grabs for 60-some yards. I think he was doing quite well. And then, no, without him, like that whole offense last year without Keenan Allen took a big hit, and they didn't put up the fantasy numbers. Nobody did in that offense compared to when he was in the lineup. So it's a big hit, and it's a hard guy to replace. But watching him, seeing that he got hurt was thankful I didn't get him in more leagues, because I was bummed out quite a few times in their drafts that I didn't get him or couldn't afford him. So maybe it was lucky. I only have to try to fill the hole in actually like 3 leagues, because one of them I had him in was a best ball, so there's nothing I can do about it. There's no waiver ads or nothing, so there's only 3 other leagues that I can do anything about it. So I'll try.
All right, and I see I'm just kind of going through. We're going to talk about who you might pick up off the Chargers later on when we take a look at some fab budgets. So we'll move on from there. Demaryius Thomas, Sammy Watkins, like these big name guys. Zach Ertz banged up, and I have RG3 in a couple of pools too. That stung. I think I dropped them today in one.
Yeah, well, Demaryius, he was at practice, took limited reps today. He was seen grabbing his hip and in pain, so that doesn't look good. Sammy Watkins took limited reps again. True question mark for Thursday night. Like, I actually was going to leave him in. Reportedly, his foot is structurally fine, but it was tired after week one is what I'm reading here on the 4-for-4 beat. But, you know, how do you play a guy like that? He come off a dismal performance week one. It's a short week. Typically, the Thursday night games are duds anyways. And, you know, I learned my lesson last, other years watching those Thursday games and trying to hope for fantasy production on Thursday. It never works. So, I think you're safer to leave Sammy Watkins out of your lineup this week. If you got I mean, I was looking at guys like Mohamed Sanu, but he was banged up. So yeah. If he's healthy, I would play him. But you got to know that before, by tomorrow night, or have a better feel for it. But other guys, even like Sterling Shepard's got a good matchup with Saints in town. Like, he might be a guy that could be on your bench yet. I think I'd feel safe playing him over him. There's quite a few guys I'm sure that you have on your bench that have probably decent matchups and are healthy that I think you would probably be better off risk taking that chance than running Sammy Watkins this week.
Well, and the other thing coming into this season too, right, is the change in the injury notifications, correct? So we're going to see that a little bit different. We're not going to see probable anymore. So it's going to be a little bit of a roll of the dice too to know what questionable actually is going to mean.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks. I mean, a lot of questionable, and yeah, it's really does make it a bit of more of a guessing game. But you know, Sammy's got the history of with the bad foot and the screws in it and everything else. So it's just it's tough. And there's other guys too that went down, like Zach Ertz. I haven't read anything here. I'll probably find something while I'm talking. But Zach Ertz. Right. He has some rib problems, and he might miss it. Last I saw, he was week to week, so that's too bad too, because that's another guy heavily owned. And then, like you mentioned, RG3 hurt already. Didn't have any shares in RG3.
Tony Romo already hurt. That's a real surprise.
Guys that need to drink milk, I think they need to get themselves a couple of dairy cattle.
This segment brought to you by Milk.
That's right. Milk could sponsor them. So, but you know, I think overall, I'm more excited about that Browns offense with Josh McCown in there than I am with RG3. Josh isn't going to try to, you know, pull it down and run it. He's going to throw it. He did fine when he went in for the Bears a couple of years ago there. You know, that didn't slow down that offense at all. And he had good receivers, and hopefully he can get the receiving game going. Garrett Barnage is coming off a goose egg in Cleveland. Yeah. So just if he can, he could potentially come back to life with Josh McCown. So I'm not too worried about it at all. I am bummed because going from previous podcast guests' advice, play any wide receivers against the Philadelphia Eagles. So I did that in some daily pools because you get RG3 and Coleman quite cheap. That didn't work out too good. They didn't bring down $1 million. So
no,
$1 million short of what I wanted to have this week. So I'm really bummed out about that.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
I just made the move for Barnard. So, and I mean, I was happy about my dynasty trade on Barnard. He's older. Come off 1 year. Will Ty is young and he's,
the picks you got.
Be about as good. And then, two picks in 2017 and a third and a fourth.
Who'd you do that with?
Hilly.
Wow, yeah, I couldn't believe that. Hilly's so tight. Oh, yeah, no, I just offered.
He threw me the offer. I didn't even have to bargain for it.
No kidding, eh? He probably went, when you accepted, he probably went right to Zoob's. Dude, wow. Should I have done that? He accepted it.
Yeah, that happened the other day, too. Blackie sent me one for Buck Allen. It was right when Forsett made the move and he was going to send me Buck Allen and it was a steal. And should have just went straight to accept, but greedy, right? And that's, I mean, I know it's not a dynasty pod, but I thought, well, maybe I can move that fourth to a third or whatever the add-on was, right? And so I went back at it and then he revoked it and said, I'm too scared. And then he wouldn't even talk about it after that. And I just smashed in my head. Yeah.
Well, I countered the last one I offered. I asked for a third in 17 and the fourth in 18 just to spice it up a little bit for the next year's draft. And now I could get something for him. But, you know, a guy like Forsett, he could be very productive for a while this year, or he could be replaced by Terrence West or Kenneth Dixon or Jav Allen, or he could be broken. So I think I'd rather get something for him now when I can. And none of those guys listen to this pod anyways, so.
That's right.
We're safe.
All right. Let's take a look at moves you should be making based on some of these injuries and some things that we learned through week one. And there's a lot of learning going on after week one. So, Blister, we have always called this segment the Live Wire because Waiver Wire is live with action. So let's head into the next segment here. This one's called Live Wire.
Live.
So in LiveWire, we take a look at waiver wire and fab budget information and guys that you should be taking a look at, and some recommendations on how much money you should be spending. So, Blister, let's get into the first one here. I see that you're looking at Joe Flacco maybe as a streaming option this week.
Yeah, you know, we don't have to go through all these backs either. I put quite a few on there, but I think I like the looks of Joe Flacco well into the season. You know, he's coming back off an injury, and typically last year before he got hurt, he was putting up very solid numbers. His average fantasy points per game were, I'll pull it up here in a second, but they're right up there with, you know, with basically everybody. And he would have been a top 10, I believe. But I dislike the fact that he got Mike Wallace, believe it or not, and I think he comes up later as well. I just thought that could add a deep threat. And Mike Wallace, of course, he's been kind of not on the picture for quite a while because he went, you know, from Pittsburgh where he was pretty solid. He goes down to Miami and he was okay. I mean, he got a lot of touchdowns there, which really helped his fantasy value. And then, went to Minnesota where Teddy Bridgewater can't throw a deep pass.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know,
not
all
now.
Of a sudden, no, he won't throw it for quite a while now. So, you know, I thought that going back, Joe Flacco is almost quite the exact opposite. He can throw a great deep ball, maybe the best in the league. And right. All of a sudden you got a guy that can stretch a field, Stevie Smith, these little pest catching those, he's there. I mean, I just thought that was a good fit. So Flacco had a pretty good first week. I think he has a pretty solid schedule. Right now, last year's numbers for us real quick here. And
I could have been on top of that for you.
Normally, well, I should have been on top of that too. I really didn't look at the script after I made it 2 days ago. So here it is. Fantasy points per game. Yeah, he had 21.6 fantasy points per game, and he only played 10 games last year. Now that's not bad. It's not, it's not top 10. Actually, there's top 10 was 23 fantasy points per game, so he's 1.4. points off that, which isn't too bad, but that it just shows a discrepancy. You go all the way to the 26th ranked quarterback who has 20 fantasy points per game, and last year that was Matt Ryan. So that's why we always say you don't have to take a quarterback in the first round or the first four rounds or the first five rounds, maybe the first six rounds, because you got 26 quarterbacks last year that averaged 20 points or better per game. And that's quite a pile versus if you pass on those guys early, pick up a stud receiver, not Keenan Allen, obviously, but you know, you can really make a difference and pick up a quarterback later that can give you that production. But anyways, Joe Flacco. I think you can consider him definitely a good streaming option for you going forward.
Well, I'm just looking at last year too, Blister. I know you mentioned points per game, but if we're looking at streaming, it's can you pick a week where he's going to go off? And there, he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games in those first 11 weeks that he was 20 plus points. And so a guy you're pulling off the waiver for a couple of bucks of your fab, if he can get you 20 points this week and then you dump him and grab someone else to get 20 points. I mean, that's the way to do it. If you listen to late round quarterback, their waiver wire quarterback, if the guy they suggested each week finished as QB10. So it's just a matter of picking the right guy at the right week. So
that's right. Yep. And it's not that bad to do, especially the more games that get played, you know, it should be easier to find that good matchup, you know, and it's, you know, you'll be able to see this team gives up the most points per game to the quarterback, fantasy points per game. So there's a lot of places out there you can find that kind of information and stream accordingly.
So if you're fabbing on quarterbacks, and we just talked about Josh McCown, and now you mentioned Joe Flacco, who are you going to spend a little bit more on? You spending about the same? Are you targeting one over the other?
On Flacco and McCown?
Yeah.
Is that who we're talking about, the two? I'd probably very similar. I said maybe 5%. Like if you had a $1,000 budget, I think you, and if you, depending on how bad you needed them, but you know, you could spend, you could probably get them in some leagues for $5. You might have to spend 50, but I wouldn't go more than that. And if I had to choose between, because those, at this point, those receivers are more well established. Dennis Pitta actually had not a bad game for his first game back in a long time. So, you know, if there was a couple of years in a row that Dennis Pitta was, the big sleeper tight end of the year, and then boom, he would be hurt before the season started. But now he's back, and you know what? He got a few targets, he made a few catches, and I think that if he's healthy and on the field, he's going to get that rapport going with Joe again. Plus, they got, like I said, Smith and Wallace and Perryman even made the showing. So I think he's got better established weapons in Baltimore than McCown does, so I'd go with Joe.
All right. Now, that's a little bit of talk about quarterback on the waiver if you're streaming. What about the running back position, Blister? Is anyone out there that you think might be available?
Well, I think in about 50% of the leagues, it's 60%. Tevin Coleman is still out there. And, or sorry, not that many. 40%, 40 to 50% of the leagues, I think Tevin Coleman is available. You can probably find it from your Bex while we're talking, but yeah. It's surprising because people forget because Devontae Freeman had a big year last year, so he finished as the number one running back. So, you know, he wasn't given that much respect in the, auctions this year, but he still was going for, probably, drafted or auctioned as a top five running back on average, definitely the top 10. And so, but people kind of left Tevin Coleman out of the picture. And last year before Freeman got his start, Tevin Coleman was a starter. And Freeman ended up getting in there because Coleman got hurt. And he did obviously awesome with the job. But Tevin Coleman, if people didn't draft him or left him on your waiver wire, go pick him up because he'd had a much more productive first game of the year. And, He could easily be the number one running back in Atlanta this year, especially if Freeman gets banged up and hurt. Yeah. Like he's going to get all the attention there. So he could easily slip back into that role if he's doing well. I mean, the first game, he had five catches for 95 yards, and he had 8 carries for 22 yards. So he had over 100-yard game, and Freeman was bad. He wasn't that good.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, he was owned in 56% of leagues. So that means, about half the leagues he's owned, the other half he's not. And if they're going to timeshare about equally like they did last week, and he's going to get 8 carries for 22, well, that's not that great. But if he's going to bring in your PPR 5 for 95, I mean, that's 14 points right there. Add another couple. He's, 16 points pretty quick, and he's in a timeshare. I'll take that out of my flex that you're picking
absolutely
up off the waiver. So
now a couple other like running back notes too, like Jay Ajayi didn't even make the trip, but right now Foster's got a little soft tissue injury, which is nothing new. No, so I think that if Foster were to miss a game already, I think Jay, even though he didn't make the last trip, he would bounce back up into the starting role there. Guy like Cameron Artis Payne, he was a healthy scratch too, and I kind of thought that every sign indicated that he would be the number two to Jonathan Stewart, but he was a healthy scratch. So I think, there's a guy you could drop if you're looking to pick somebody up as well. And, he's going to, I don't know if he'll ever be the number two or get into the starting role there, but I think it's safe to put him back in waiver wire for some of these other guys we're going to talk about.
All right, so as we move through, there's someone you talked about as far as running backs. A lot of guys with wide receiver position, though, that you're looking at as either your wide receiver threes or flexing. Why don't we go through a couple guys? I know you mentioned Joe Flacco and Mike Wallace earlier. Is Mike Wallace someone you're going to target this week?
I drafted Mike Wallace in a number of leagues already, so I actually probably have him if he's available.
So did my wife, and she didn't play him.
Yeah, I kind of thought that. I mean, I said that from the beginning when nobody was saying much. I don't know if he's obviously not going to be getting a 66-yard touchdown every week, but and he's probably going to have a similar stat line though when he's on, like 3 catches for 91 yards and potentially a score. That can happen all the time, but he's not going to be he's a deep threat, so he's going to put up big numbers on small amount of catches and targets versus a guy like Steve Smith had 9 targets, led the team on Sunday, but he only made 5 catches for 19 yards. So that's the difference between the two. In PPR, Steve Smith might get a lot more grabs, but it only takes Wallace one play basically to equal his point total, a 66-yard touchdown catch. Well, there's 13 points there. So, I think that he's a good guy to pick up. I mean,
he's owned in 50% of leagues, which surprises me.
Is that right?
On ESPN. Yeah, and he's up 9%, so he was drafted in 40% of leagues. I find that to be really high for Mike Wallace, don't you?
Yeah, that is pretty high because nobody was really high on him going into any drafts. You know, nobody was talking about him. Everyone was like, he was just not even brought up. I mean, if you looked at even rankings for this week, he's still ranked in the, as the 40th best wide receiver, I believe, something like that. And I mean, he's got a great matchup again. So it's kind of, I mean, it's hard because there's a lot of good receivers and they all can't be ranked in the top 20 or top 15 or whatever. But, yeah, it's just surprising that he was drafted that much.
Yeah. So, are you throwing in 5% for him? Are you going for more? Is this someone you're willing to invest a bit in?
I think if you really wanted Mike Wallace, you might want to throw in a couple $100 probably. You know, I think he's a guy that you're going to be able to use even more so in your bye weeks, perhaps, you know, you lost Keenan Allen. You have a couple question marks in Sammy Watkins and Demaryius Thomas. He's a guy that could put up solid numbers for you. So I think you could put up that much money anyway, easily. You could probably go higher than that. I don't think you have to go higher than that, but I think a couple $100 should be good enough.
And I think early in your waiver moves, I think these are the times that you got to be aggressive, right? Because these are guys that could be lasting the next 10 weeks or whatever you've got, right? So
Baltimore has the fourth best strength of schedule for receivers in PPR. Now, a lot of that data obviously is based on last year's numbers, but it's going to be close. They might not be fourth. Maybe they'll be 11th or maybe they'll be, you know, first, who knows, but, it's not going to vary that much. They base it on, you know, what the opponent's defense is like, what their secondary is like and that. So he's going to have his opportunities based on that schedule to put up some solid numbers more often than not.
All right. And another receiver that really, I think, caught the attention around the league because he's mentioned a lot in Dynasty, but not so much in redraft. Will Fuller blister, had himself a nice little game.
Yeah, Will Fuller is he is available, and that's a guy I'd probably be willing to spend even a little bit more on than Wallace. He put up a nice stat line, 5 grabs for 107 yards and a touchdown. But the more important thing is he led Houston with 11 targets, 3 more than DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah. DeAndre Hopkins, like we had said on there, he got a lot of targets over like last year. And so for him to be getting the targets, that's the key there. They're looking his way quite a bit. And he's got speed. And he's playing opposite a really stud receiver in DeAndre Hopkins. So it's Hopkins that should get the extra coverage and Fuller should be finding himself in some good one-on-one opportunities. So as long as Osweiler can hold up his end of the deal, getting him the ball, then you know what? Fuller is probably a guy that should have maybe some more consistency over the course of the year. And they have a good running game in Houston as well. So Lamar Miller is there. So, you know, it's a good thing because they should have a good balanced offense. And I would probably be willing to spend about $400 on a guy like Will Fuller out of your 1,000 or 40 of your 100. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins last year, 192 targets, number 3 in the league in targets. I mean, to out-target him in a game is pretty special.
Yeah, that is pretty darn good. Very good.
But, I mean, you know, that's what you get when you play opposite elite wide receiver, right? When you're the number 2, they roll and bracket coverage over to the number 1, and it leaves some openings for that number 2 guy. He's got the speed to, you know, take the top off of defense, and Brock Osweiler, brand new to the offense. So just because DeAndre Hopkins has been elite doesn't mean that Osweiler, you know, in his progressions, maybe is supposed to look that way. But we know every quarterback kind of has a tendency, right, and a favorite guy. And it's interesting. I didn't really think that Will Fuller would have been drafted like he was too. I mean, right now he is owned in 68% of leagues, but that's up 10% this week. So he was like almost 60% of leagues he was drafted in.
That's They have the 26th best schedule, so they actually have one of the tougher schedules for wide receivers in PPR. But I wouldn't let that scare you off. They're going to throw if they got to throw the ball, he's going to get his looks.
So let's take a look. I mean, Tajae Sharpe is a guy you have mentioned here. I'm going to guess that he's He should have been pretty highly owned too. I'm going to take a quick little peek here and see if there's
something. Yeah, he's another guy. I mean,
he's more available than anybody right now. He's available in half the leagues.
And that's crazy. He should get scooped up. I mean, I thought Rishard Matthews would get more action, you know, and it's been all Tajay Sharp for the last little while now. He had 11 targets and 7 catches for 76 yards in his first regular season NFL game. And I think, you know, this week they got Detroit in Detroit. So I think with that Detroit offense, they're going to have to probably put the ball in the air again to keep up. And then they got to go to Oakland, another pretty high-powered offense that they're going to have to throw the ball. I mean, they have, I think, DeMarco and Henry are great running backs, and they're going to do a fine job. But I think in order for them to keep pace with these other offenses, that they're going to have to be throwing the ball again. And again, you got a guy with 11 targets. You got to like that, because if they're looking at him that much, then he's going to get some. It really sucks if they're getting 2 or 3 targets a game, because then it's pretty hard to put up quality fantasy points. But this guy is potentially, like I said, the number one. That's the difference between him and Fuller. He's the number one. But, you know, will he get all the attention? He wouldn't get the same attention as a DeAndre Hopkins would. So, yeah. You know, Delanie Walker is a big part of their passing game typically too. So, yeah, it's not like they really will have to focus or put too much focus on Tajay, I don't think. But again, if you're going to get the targets and the catches, and you know, you want to spend probably, again, $400 on a guy like that, and he could be your wide receiver 2 or 3 all year long, especially if you lost some guys.
Yeah, Blister, someone I didn't see on your list, but I was curious to get your take on him, because I've been aggressively targeting him across all my leagues. Jeremy Curley, not because he's a special wide receiver, but because, like we just mentioned with Tajay Sharp, the 11 targets last week in that up-tempo offense.
You know what? His name came up a while back, and they said that he could be the guy to own in that
San Francisco. Because I jumped on Ellington everywhere, right? Yeah. And then he's gone, so now... We'll go this
way. And once Ellington went down and once Curley got there, like they said, even when he was playing on Monday night, the fans are probably going, who is this guy?
He hasn't even played, right? He was only there like a few days.
Yeah. But you know what? And it's working out really well. I mean, Gabbert is, I don't know. One minute he looks okay, and then he makes a quick throw to the flats, and it's bouncing 20 feet in front of the guy. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. He looked okay scrambling and running. He looked pretty quick, but... Yeah. He just missed guys by a long ways sometimes. But I mean, they don't have a lot there. Torrey Smith is a bum. Yeah. And, if they got to make the short passes, it looks like Curley is going to be the man. And again, in the PPR format, you know, 7 catches for 50 yards only, even 12 points. Right? How much did he have?
7 for 61 on 11, on 11 targets. Yeah.
That's pretty solid effort. I mean, maybe
he doesn't even know the playbook. They're just going, this is a slant, this is a hook, you're the bottle cap. Like, I mean, he didn't know the playbook, so it can only get better. No. Nice DFS play maybe this week, Blister.
Yeah, where are they this week? I can't remember.
They're in Carolina, though, yeah.
I'm going to probably avoid them. They're going to have to throw the ball.
Anyways, I jumped all over him in a lot of leagues. And how about what will be, I guess, the next man up in San Diego, Tyrell Williams. What do you see out of him? He had some good looks last week, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, he ended up with, 2 catches for 71 yards, but there was a lot of hype coming with him through the preseason, and he's a big guy, 6'4", 205 pounds, so I wish I was 205 pounds, and I'm not 6'4". Shit. I wish I was. You know, I think that somebody's got to fill that void, and it could mean a lot more passes to Danny Woodhead. I mean, it's hard to, like we were saying earlier, it's hard to play a guy like Danny Woodhead. He has a big game, and then, you know, he can disappear for 3 or 4 weeks. But I wonder if this makes Danny Woodhead a more steady part of the offense, because they're not that good. Their defense is pretty poor. They're going to probably be behind a lot, and they're going to have to throw a lot. And so if they're going to throw a lot, I mean, I couldn't believe the snap count. I don't have it in front of me, but Melvin Gordon, he only got like 23 snaps. Danny Woodhead, I think, had double that, 50 maybe.
But a couple of scores were sure nice for Melvin.
Yeah, but why go away from that? Like, he was doing really well, and they were winning, and they were hammering KC on the road, and then they go away from that, and they end up losing. It just seems to me that was piss poor coaching. So this Tyrell Williams, I keep an eye on him. Dontrell Inman was there for a few years. He should know everything better, but he, for some reason, doesn't get the love. So I think Tyrell is a guy to kind of keep an eye on. I've threw some bids out on him in all the leagues that I own Keenan in, and I've picked him up in a couple leagues already. And you know what? If he doesn't work out, if he doesn't get any looks, if his targets don't go up, you know, I'll easily just drop him back to the waiver wire. But if he's the guy that, you know, there was some good hype. He is big. He could be a red zone target. And if he can get himself open, you know, who knows? He could be a nice little sleeper for you.
I see. It's a tight end position. You're looking at Virgil Green maybe this week as a target, especially for streaming.
I like Virgil Green. I had him in, tried to pick him up in a few leagues, but quite often I found when we were doing our auctions, there was, you know, I figured that if I wanted to pick up a second tight end, it would have to be a Virgil Green or a Jordan Cameron or guys like that. But in the end, I was able to get like guys like Delanie Walker and Travis Kelce for, I thought, really good prices, or Kobe Fleener, who I don't know if any price was good for him unless he starts to do something, or, you know, guys like that.
No kidding. Zach Ertz. I own him in a few.
Yeah, Zach Ertz I have in a lot of places too, right? So Virgil Green, I just think he's going to put up a few more catches this week, have a potentially a chance to get some more numbers, I think. You know, I expect a bigger week from him this week. I think he's a really nice, cheap, daily fantasy play as well. He's got the Colts this week. Eric Ebron had a pretty darn good game against the Colts on week one. So I just think the Virgil Green is a nice little play this week. Very, very, low cost. And, I say he's in the end zone this week for sure.
Then it's a, he has a nice snap count, 61% of the snaps last week, you know, and did get 4 receptions. So, I mean, they were using him, and he is a nice red zone threat, like you said.
Yeah, and if Demaryius is banged up and not 100% healthy, some of those targets have got to go somewhere as well. I was, you know, Sanders had a pretty good game. I've never been high on him, and I figured that this year I'd write him off. But again, in PPR, he's a pretty good draw. And this week they got the Colts too. I think Sanders could be a really good play this weekend and for a big game as well.
All right. Anyone else that you have listed here on your waiver wire that I didn't hit that you wanted to mention?
I'm just going to check right through here. I think Victor Cruz is a guy worth keeping an eye on. I know Sterling Shepard is there.
I hated Cruz, the salsa. Jeez, the stupid Cowboys.
Cruz is a veteran, and, you know, 4 catches for 34 yards and a touchdown. You know, without the touchdown, it's not a very impressive day, but that puts him in the double digits. And if they, you know, if he keeps getting, if he can stay on the field, he's only going to get build momentum, I think. I mean, Eli Manning, he used to have a great rapport with Cruz, and that those days, you know, might never come back because Odell Beckham's there, but Odell Beckham's going to get all the coverage. And if Victor Cruz, he's you know, good receiver, as a veteran receiver, he could find himself getting open quite a bit. It could hurt Sterling Shepard's overall value because I think, if anything, you know, there's 3 solid receivers there, but yeah. I think Cruz could end up getting a few more targets than Shepard on as the further we go, and the longer he stays healthy, I think he'll eventually, you know, squeeze Shepard out of being fantasy relevant on more than one occasion. Whereas if he wasn't around, I think Shepard would be awesome to have in your lineup probably quite regularly. But right. I think you got to keep an eye on him. And if you got room on your bench, pick him up now and hope that he grows. I tried to do that in a couple of drafts, and I've picked him up and dropped him and picked him up, but he could be a nice little sleeper.
All right. Anyone else on the list?
Quincy Iwuanua from the Jets.
Yep.
He had 7 catches, tied with Brandon Marshall for the lead with 8 targets. And the thing is, with that offense, he could be that slot receiver that gets a lot of looks. He could, you know, he's probably never going to, you know, get a lot of touchdowns. Marshall and Decker will probably be the hogs there, but he got 1. So, you know, if he got 6 on the year, that would probably be a lot, which means he's only going to maybe get 5 more in the next 15 weeks. So, but in PPR, if you're looking for a guy down the road to fill in a void on your bye weeks and stuff, I think that, he will be out there quite a bit in their 3 wide receiver offense. So he's a guy you could probably pick up a little cheaper than some of the other guys. You know, $50 might buy him. And I wouldn't put any money on Eddie Royal. It doesn't matter when he was a Charger. It doesn't matter if he's a Bear. It doesn't matter who he plays for. He always starts the year off good. always does. And then after about week four, you'll never hear of him again. So I would just not waste any money on Eddie Royal. Hopefully somebody else will. But Kevin White was kind of disappointing, and he hasn't really, you know, I thought that he might be my stud receiver I drafted in a lot of leagues, and he's got a long way to go if he's going to help me on a week-to-week basis.
Well, you had to treat him like a rookie really this year, right? So, I mean, even though he's been around, I mean, watching film makes you a little better, but still you got to practice, right?
Yeah, you do. And Cole Beasley too. I think 12 targets for Cole Beasley. Caught eight for 65 yards only. And Jason Witten too. I was not high on Witten, but now that I see how often Dax is going to look his way, he's another guy that I went and picked him up in one league off the waiver wire because, I mean, Dez was disappointing and he didn't even get the ball to him very often. Terrence Williams is always been disappointing. I'd still like to trade him though in Dynasty. So Jason Witten, I mean, they can't keep throwing the ball to Beasley like that. I sure hope not. But I'm not going to go after him either. I'm not going to let that one game. Every year the Cowboys have that one big receiver. It seems like week one, and then you never see him again.
Dwayne Harris. Remember, it was not week one, but he went off and crazy and lucky.
But who was it that one year? No, yeah, but go back a few more years against the Giants. And then everyone's a clamor to the waiver wire, and then I don't know if he ever did anything again.
He's not even in the league anymore, I don't think.
He probably isn't, no. Who the hell was that?
I can't even think of who it was.
Me neither.
Yeah, I don't know.
Was it Will?
I can't remember. No. Anyways, so those are some guys off the waiver wire you should be taking a look at. Blister had mentioned some of the percentages and money values that you should be putting on some of these guys in your – on your waiver wire. And if you want to take a look, you can go to the website. I've got it all listed there as well. Speaking of the website, Blister will have, rankings up and rolling here by by Thursday morning. So it can help you to set your lines for Thursday night and for the weekend. So Blister, we talked, went through week one, got everyone ready for week two. So hopefully, my 30-70 split improves heading into week two. God, I hope so.
I hope mine does too. Crap, I thought I'd be able to find that. I thought I'd be able to find that name. Someone's got to bail us out here.
Yeah, I know. Someone's going to crap.
How many years ago do you think that was?
Must have been 3 years, 2 years, 3 years.
I went back 2013, nothing. Kevin Ogletree.
There it is.
Year that was? 2012 already. Holy man.
No kidding.
You had 11 targets, game one, 8 receptions, 114 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He was the number one receiver in week one.
What did he do week two?
I'll tell you. This will be what Beasley does. I don't know. Miles Austin was actually 12th ranked. Ogletree. You know what? I'll go back and I'll click just on him. It'll be quicker. That's bad, though.
Ogletree.
Yeah. Ogletree. All right. So week one. Oh, come on. 2012. I can't even click on it. He ended up with, he got 23 points in week one with 8 catches. He ended up with, on the whole season, 32 catches and a total of 68 points. So for the next 13 games after week one, he only got 45 points. So
there you have it.
About 3 points a game after that. Not so good. He's 29 now. Washing cars.
Who's he with?
Daytona Beach. It looks like, I don't know where he is, what he's doing.
He's not in the league anymore.
I think so. I don't know what he's doing. He's not on our podcast.
No, that's for sure. But if you'd like to be on our podcast, just let us know.
Talk about that game, 2012, when you
would be awesome.
Set the waiver world on fire.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I don't know. That's probably pretty good. Good luck this week. I hope that I can rebound in a couple leagues. I think the most important leagues I won in, though, are auction and our dynasty. Those two I won in. Although I would have to say that ECL auction with a little bit higher entry fee would be a little more important to win now too.
Yeah. All right. Well, Blister, that boat wraps up week one and the week two preview. We'll take a look at what the schedules are with tryouts and whatever else next week and see if we can jump on. If not, we'll see people for, I don't know, maybe week three or so. A little check-in.
Yeah.
Let everyone know how sounds things are good. Going. All right.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
Yeah, let's do something like that. All right, everybody. So good luck for you in good luck to you in week two. Check out the rankings on the website, dfantasyfootballauction.com. Support the podcast by subscribing and giving us a rate and review wherever fine podcasts are downloaded for free. And Blister, I guess next week I'll see you at some AA evaluations.
Yeah, that'd be great, man. I'll tell you a little bit more about that when we're off the air I don't offend any viewers.
Yeah, yeah. And for everyone else, I'll see you when it's springtime at the Rockies or in the Rockies. It's like I've never podcasted before. All right.
First one.
That's pop right. That first one of the regular season. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
When it's springtime in the Rockies, I'll be coming back to you.